From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls. The Three Musketeers are back together again. I will explain all in a moment. My name's Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. Minus six this morning when I took the car out. And there's all snowy stuff on the mountains. And little bits of snowy stuff around the office and the studio. And it's lovely. Pop Rap's in the east of Slovakia. Do come and see us. You will be able to soon. News on that very shortly. And it's a wonderful place to come. What more can I tell you? Currently in India, hate him, he went to the Grand Prix the other week. It's none other than Lee Banks.
It certainly is, and I'm doing very well. I'm actually sitting in the studio. You remember that little radio station I told you about, WC Radio?
Yeah.
They've lent me a studio, which I've now recorded. Can you hear the difference?
Dramatically. So why haven't you said hello in the local lingo?
Because last time I did it, both you and Mark took the mickey out of me and embarrassed me.
Okay, well, in which case, we'll all do the three of them. Mark, hello from Gay Paris.
Hello there from Gay Paris. I'm very interested to hear that it's minus 6 degrees there at the bottom of the mountains. Presumably, as you go up, it gets warmer.
And colder.
Because it gets closer to the sun and warm air rises. So
oh,
if you're
no.
feeling cold, climb up the mountain.
Yes.
I'm sure it'll be very nice.
It reminds me of a story of a gentleman who had problems with his satellite reception in the UK. And I went round there to help everybody out as a sort of interim. And he said, look, they've put it low down. I want it put on the chimney. It'll work better. I said, sir, the satellite's 26,000 kilometres up in the sky. Do you think a couple of metres is going to make any difference? Ah, okay.
I didn't know you could get it on a metre.
Stop it. So I think we should say hello to our friends in America at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, you lovely folks on Audio Boo and RCI and just about anywhere else you happen to be listening. So I think we should do the international thing here and all three of us say hello or good day in the language of the country they're in.
I'd rather not, thank you.
Well, I think you could do it once, just to embarrass Lee. I think we could do that. I'll start off. Dobry den. Silence.
Yeah, go on, then.
Your turn now.
That was it.
No, yeah, I was waiting for Mark to do it because you're both supposed to be embarrassing me. It's not down to me to embarrass myself. Right.
Hello there, my little pigeons. How are you?
Lee?
I don't know how to say it. I'll to say it in Indian. Honestly, I've been here nearly 2 months and I can't say hello in Indian. Yeah. I know exactly how to say it. They just say hello like that.
All right. It's a bit like
in
they do here.
Beautiful sing-song voice. You just go hello like that. And you go hello back like that. And they go hello back to you like that. You can spend all day just going hello, hello like that. It's just wonderful. I love India.
Lee, are you wearing Wellington boots in that studio?
Why do I sound a little bit wet?
Well, you're going to need them to walk out after that comment I've just heard from you about not being able to speak the local lingo after 2 months. Embarrassing. Anyway, this is the alternative news programme of the week. And I've got to start off by saying hi to Her Excellency, Susanna Montgomery and Mr. Montgomery. Good luck with the website, sir. Nice to have lunch with you the other day, Susanna. Lovely to meet you. Also to John Carney. He's the Consular Regional Operations Manager for here, this area. And, of course, Alice up in Bratislava. Hello to Mariana from the Foreign Ministry here. And Colonel Robert Valovich. Hi to all of you guys. Lovely to have lunch with you the other day, even though it took me 4 hours to get there. Ho-hum, never mind. And a very important day before we get into the news of this week. On the 17th of November, many, many, many years ago, thousands of students stood against the then controlling Communist Party. And the Velvet Revolution was born in the eastern areas of Europe. A non-violent end to the tyranny of communism. RTI would like to extend its respect and grateful thanks to all who took part and stood for freedom. Congratulations to you all. Lee, some obits to do.
We have. Can I just say hello to everybody right yes. before we start? Yeah. Now this
hello,
is a very
little
sad
pigeon.
This is a very sad moment.
Hello, mon ennemi me.
There's one person who won't be saying hello anymore, and that's the Munchkin. poor old actor Carl Slover, the original Munchkin from the 1939 film The Wizard of Oz, has died. The Munchkin's dead. What are we going to do?
Is it Carl Slover or Carl's lover?
Carl's lover, I think. But I don't even know what the Munchkin
Carl
film
Slover,
is.
Carl Slover, not Carl's lover, big gay Parisian.
Listen, he was around a long time and it was great. And it was great in the film.
You just embarrass yourself trying to take the mickey out of a dead Munchkin.
Well, I've never heard of him.
Actor Carl Slover?
No. What's the Munchkin film then?
It's Wizard of Oz, you big Philistine.
Excuse me.
The little guy.
Excuse me.
The little one. He was the little Munchkin.
Oh.
He came in at your children.
Was he the lion? Is that the one?
Get that one, Mark. Munchkin.
Listen, I'm not being a Philistine anymore because, as Trevor Bayliss said this week, art is pleasure.
Trevor Bayliss, he's the man who did the wind-up radio. You've been doing that for decades.
Art is pleasure. Invention is treasure.
Yes.
And I totally agree with that.
I tell you what, ask somebody who owns a Picasso which they'd rather own, a wind-up radio or a Picasso. Yeah,
that might be true.
And how much would they have paid for it, and what's its value increasing? I say no more. There we go. Another departed person from Howard's Way.
And now poor old Dulcie Gray. Yeah, she's died as well now. She was 95. Do we remember out of... Howard's Way, that incredibly awful BBC One series that was on between 1985 and 1990. Well, she was the person who made it. You know what fascinates me about her?
That wonderful yacht going through the water, that really powerful music at the beginning as he's standing at the helm of the boat. And this whole thing, which was a cult program with millions upon millions of viewers, and you say it's rubbish.
It was absolute crap.
Stop saying the C word or I'll bleep you.
Get lost, you can say. You say words that I'm not allowed to say.
Yeah, but I'm sitting in the production studio. It's my right.
He's got the bleeper, unfortunately. Yeah.
Bleep, bleep.
Anyway, poor old Dulcie Gray. You know what fascinated me about her? Was her name. If you think, it says she's dull, and she says it says she's grey. Dull and grey. And I think
sweet.
That's terrible.
Wash your mouth out with soap, Mr. Banks.
Yeah. I was going to say, she was such a beautifully elegant and charming and witty woman that she actually made a name that says she's dull and grey become something wonderful and charming and exotic and fabulous. I love you, Dulcie. I will miss you.
She's missing you as well.
Anyway, moving on to the news of this week, which we attempt to do vainly every week with Mr. Banks intervening with...
I'm a journalist. I can do news.
Red top journalism. Anyway, are Platter's balls up? We think so. Sepp Blatter, the guy behind FIFA... Did you like the headline, Lee?
Yes, I must admit, I want to point out to the ladies and gentlemen, I did not write that headline. Eric wrote that headline.
Just to prove a point, I can still do it. Former England captain David Beckham has condemned Sepp Blatter's comments on racism as appalling. This is just another part of the out-of-touch FIFA, which has no brains, no logic, and beyond me how they can even approve of the bloke.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy, isn't it? I mean, he's come along there and he said, listen, you know, when there's an argument on the field, and even if it includes racist comments, that it can just be settled afterwards with a post-match handshake. No need to do anything more. But, of course, the problem is that, you know, I suppose if it really was just between the players, that might be a point of view. I'm a bit dubious about that. But, of course, the trouble is that it's on the terraces as well. It's all the spectators. And while the players are busy settling it with a post-match handshake, the all the audience are settling it with a post-match post-match punch-up and chair-throwing. Mm. It really, you know, it was a very, very reckless thing for him to say.
I mean, I know it's...
I'm not sure, if that was a reckless thing for him to say at all. I think there is too much said about the way that people do solve problems. And a handshake, actually... See, what we're actually doing by adopting that attitude, and I'm not defending Mr. Blatter, I've attacked him more than anybody on this programme, but a handshake is actually one of the best things that you can actually do to solve or make an agreement over
But you've still got to recognise it's there in the first place, and surely the best thing is to remove it in the first place, and he's just not acknowledging it's there.
Of course, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, he's acknowledging it's there. Racism is everywhere. I've been out in India, like we said, for the last 2 months, and I, for the first time in my life, I feel like a stranger in a strange land. Mm. And it's not because Indians are racist. It's just a natural sort of way of an attitude of being towards people of a different creed, colour, or whatever you want to describe it as. People act differently to me because I'm 6'5", I've got blue eyes, and I'm blonde, right? And I'm in a country where people don't... I'm a silver fox. But there are times where I've had misunderstandings over here with people in with Indian people, the indigenous people in here, and we've actually shaken hands afterwards because we've had a misunderstanding. We've not understood it. Racism is probably one of the most base instincts that humanity can actually present to the rest of the world.
I tell you what, that works two ways, Lee, because as you know, and most of the people that listen know, we've had a number of football teams out into Poprad from both Moscow and across the UK.
Yeah.
And during one particular trip, there's a young lad came over to me, a young black guy, and he said, "Are they racist?" And I went, "What?" He said, "Are they racist?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "They're all looking at me." I said, "Well, yes, that's probably due to the fact there are no black people in Poprad, because there are none." Right. And it wasn't a racism thing. He was feeling uncomfortable because he's got an impression from the UK, but when he comes here, it's not the same. And what I'm suggesting by saying that, Lee, is I think Sepp Blatter sits in his little ivory tower in Switzerland, has no idea about what goes on in the real world outside. Because even if he goes to a football match, he probably can't understand the language that's being spoken because it's not English or whatever he speaks. And he sits in the director's box, coveted by everybody, because he's the boss of FIFA. Well, there's a simple solution to that.
Get rid of him.
Get rid of FIFA.
Get rid of FIFA as well, yeah. But I'm not saying that... I didn't say that racism was basic. I said it was base. It was a base instinct which should be eradicated from the human psyche.
Yeah,
racism's an awful thing. But to actually demigrate the strength and the meaning of a handshake is equally as bad to me.
But if he had any brains, Lee, he wouldn't have made the comment about not being racism, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that by bringing that subject up, you put fuel to the fire of the racism issue. If he'd have had his words planned properly, and not some old duddery geezer as he is, he would have not answered in that way. It wouldn't have created chaos. It wouldn't have been a gaffe, as somebody put it. And then what makes matters worse, if you go onto the FIFA website, he's put a big thing up there about that's not what I meant to say, blah, 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 and uses a picture of a black guy that's over 2 years old standing alongside him to make it all look better again.
These kind of careless comments are, you know, I mean, are not unusual, are they? I mean, I think quite recently we had, which politician was it, who was sort of saying, well, some rape is less serious than others and got into a lot of trouble. But the fact is that these people have to take care. They're in a very prominent position. They represent huge interests. A lot of people pay attention to them. And these comments just shouldn't be made. It was very careless and really irresponsible.
I think that what he said wasn't a terrible gaffe at all. I don't think what he said in any way was a terrible gaffe. I think it's that the knives are out for Sepp Blatter. I'm not saying they shouldn't be. I think they should be out for him. And like Eric says, that FIFA should become an English thing now instead of it being based over there. But what he said was, look, if there is a racist comment said on a football field, just have a handshake at the end of it, shake hands and be mates, lads. Let's grow up and look at it in a grown-up fashion.
Yeah, but
I don't think it was a terrible thing.
I think it's better to be more grown up and not make racist comments in the first place. I really think it's
really is. Well, that's exactly what I said. I agree that racism is the first part of the thing that we as a human race have to hate each other because we're slightly different. How appallingly stupid are we?
Exactly.
In that case, I don't see how a handshake can at all do the job.
No, I think we'll open that up to your comments. What are your views? Get hold of us on Facebook on the page Radio, because that's us, or via your station, email in with your views. Should Sepp Blatter go, or should we just let him get on with it if you don't care about football? Virgin is next up, and I'm sure Mark will have a comment there, because the bailed out bank Northern Rock, which was bailed out by UK taxpayers, has been sold to a consortium headed by Sir Richard Branson, and it will be rebranded as Virgin Money.
Yes, absolutely. I think sold for £748 million. Sounds like a lot of money, getting on its way for $1 billion. And yet still undervalued, or maybe not undervalued, but certainly it looks like the British taxpayer is going to come out of a loss of about $500 million. I'll bet you somebody's doing very well out of the deal. I'll bet you somebody's very, very happy, but it ain't me. Is it you?
It might be Sir Richard Branson.
I think it might be Sir Richard Branson. Is it me?
Well, there is a deal on the table for this whole thing, that if he sells it within a period of time, not only has he got to buy it, but he's also got to inject another £150 million worth of capital in the business. I understand there's also a thing where he's saying that staff will not be removed from the bank for a couple of years, so that's jobs protected. And if the bank is then sold in a period of, I believe it's
5 years.
5 years, that's right. Then the taxpayer does get a huge amount of money back on the profit. So
he gets 50 to 80 million back, which ain't a lot of money compared to how much it's cost us. By,
it's not a lot. It's not a lot. You know, once again,
It's not a lot.
But, I mean, that's a nice bit of capital to come into the Treasury coffers, you know, and that will help to sort of boost things. And I suspect probably that's the kind of thing that it's about. In terms of being a good deal for the taxpayer, probably not.
And what would have happened if they'd have let it go bust?
Well, you know what? Can we look at it this way before we do that? Just have a think of it in this way. We all know businessmen, right? And how many businessmen do we know who would buy a failing business for a phenomenal amount of money, then lose money hand over fist on it for ages and ages and make other people suffer because of it, and then sell it at a loss?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and also, I mean, the other thing is, I mean, I don't think they've bought it hook, line and sinker. I mean, there's all sorts of parts of it, which are really quite undesirable. And, of course, who still owns that? The taxpayer.
Exactly, yes. Funny that.
Surprise. And of course, you know, the question, okay, what would have happened if it had been left to its own? Well, of course, I think if we're going to go back in time like that, then I think we have to go back even further and say, what would have happened if the whole industry had been properly regulated, the kind of risks that had been taken to put the entire sort of banking structure into such a mess in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, if the FSA had done its job and the OFT had done its job, instead of really just, you know, closing eyes and saying, what a lot of money you're making at the moment, we're very pleased. What would have happened if it had been proper regulation? None of this would have happened, and I think we'd probably be all better off. Except for the bankers.
They would have for the bankers, of course. Well, let's hope that happens in the future, which reminds me, Mank. Mark, what happened after your programme on ITV the other day?
Oh, yes. We had a programme on ITV. It was out, but I have to say, although I've got a copy, I haven't even watched it yet.
Naughty boy.
I'm such a cool dude. Apparently it was pretty successful. It certainly caused a bit of a stir, and I noticed that big enforcement companies, bailiffs companies such as Marston's and Rossendale's, are rushing around and restating their principles and trying to get involved in law enforcement reform committees and so forth. So we'll see really where it goes.
Okay, but all positive.
Yes, I think so.
Cool. Are you age 10? Are you a girl? Do you have a criminal record? Lee, what's this about?
I just think this is probably one of the most shocking stories of the week. It's very difficult sometimes, as when you're news editing, to decide the value of things. Obviously, Sepp Blatter and the bank story and everything are important. But actually, when you think about this, this is despicable. That Britain is actually carrying out criminal checks on children who have only just reached the age of criminal responsibility. Yeah. And it boils down to the fact that, say, a young girl, say 12, 13, 14 years old, who's part of the guide movement, or a lad who's in the scouts, wants to become a leader.
Yes.
They have a criminal check carried out against them.
Yes.
Well, you think that's a good thing?
But they all right, let's take it another way. We've seen on the news in the last few days, and if you haven't seen it, look it up on Google, you'll see it, where kids of 10 have been put into care or juvenile prisons for the most horrendous crimes. We've even seen murders by 10-year-olds, you know, some would say, but they don't know what they're doing. I think they do.
I don't understand why you know what you're doing at 10 and you didn't know what you were doing at 9.
Well, exactly. And equally, if you look at the adult side of that, if you want to be a scout leader or a guide leader at 18 or 19, or you come in later as an adult at 26, you are checked, a normal police check is carried out, for even church youth groups, the whole thing,
the CRB checks are done. There's a difference between that and being 10 or 11 years old. Where is the sense in checking out a child of 10 years old to see if they've got a criminal record? They didn't even have the sense of criminality until they were 10. Yeah, it's just a ludicrous situation for us to be in, and one of these crazy things that Britain does.
But they could be known troublemakers, couldn't they?
Exactly.
I mean, can I just tell you a little bit of a story that's happened to me recently, and although it's on a very different scale, because we're not talking about criminality here, but my 12-year-old son came home from school the other day, and it turns out that he's been suffering bullying for quite a few weeks. And when we investigated, in fact, there were three boys involved in his class, and we then found out that, in fact, these three boys were known bullies in the previous year, in other words, the first year, in another class. And because they were bullies, part of the sanction against them is that they were all removed that class and put into my son's class. Mm-hmm. And they then carried on their bullying. And I have to say that I was really appalled because, you know, this school's a solution to this administrative problem. What should we do with these bullies is we'll put them into a different class to, if you like, humiliate them or what have you, and thereby deliberately, for instance, putting my son and other children at risk. And I said to the school, I think that we should have been told that this was happening.
Sure.
And they said, well, we don't release that kind of information. And I thought it was a really, really bad decision and a way to deal with it. What you're dealing with here is, in a way, a bit the same. And although maybe these young children don't have criminal records, maybe they are known for some unfortunate reason. And I'm not saying that they're evil, but maybe they've got their family problems at home. And we need to know in some way.
Well, as many of you know and will have listened in the past, RTI has a great connection with the Voice of America in Washington, mainly set up through pirate radio stations in the 1980s. And I've been desperately trying to get hold of a gentleman called Dan Crafton, a.k.a. Steve Masters on Laser 558 in the 80s. And Dan is really good at answering, and I haven't been able to get an answer from him for ages. And eventually he called me last night and he said, I'm really sorry, blah, blah, blah. As I was walking home from the station, he works at, obviously, Voice of America in Washington, he was jumped on by three lads, a gun was put to his head, and his keys were stolen, his phone, his camera, his car keys, you know, his wallet, the whole lot was stolen from him. Fortunately, he managed to get everything done, but they'd stolen his car and drove away with it because he doesn't live that far away, and they haven't been able to find the car yet. But everything else is being done by insurance, and he's okay. The sad news was these kids, one of them's already been found by the police because he was caught on CCTV, 14 years old.
Well, nobody's denying it happens. Nobody's denying that kids do carry out these crimes and things like that, but the age of criminality is 10 years old. And we've had, in last year, we had over 250,000 children checked out by the police to see if they were capable of, their records were clean enough to let them become scout leaders or become football coaches.
I think that's
ludicrous.
I think that's 2011, and you know, I would not want a child of mine being trained or coached by a kid that 6 months before was up in front of the beak for stealing from a shop.
Yeah. Well, I see what you mean, but well, I just think it's like we're over here in India. We were at which I'll tell you later about because it's my moan about India. But we were at a place called Nimarana Hotel at the weekend, which gave me a bit of an upset tummy, as Eric will confirm. And there was a child dancer there. A child dancer. She can't have been more than 10, 11 years old. Fabulous dancer. Everything. Everybody was photographing the child. Yeah. And at that time, I was thinking that now, if anybody photographed a child of that age in Britain, whether indeed it was its parents, its grandparents, or whatever, they would run the risk of being reported for it.
Yeah, indeed.
The situation, and I know it's different in Slovakia, the way things are in Slovakia, that we are now pillorying children for things that they've not done. This gives the child a sense that he is a criminal, that he has done something wrong. It is a shameful thing to do against our young children.
Exactly. And I must find out how to put my phone on silent, my new posh phone. Anyway, moving on quickly.
Oh, Mark did that. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we, Mark?
I've got a new telephone. I don't know how to drive it yet. Well, I know most bits, but not that bit. Final story of part one. Water. A load of rubbish. The EU are at it again, and we'll let Lee introduce this, and I can tell you how ridiculous this law is in a second.
Well, let's put it this way. In one way, I think it's a good idea, because I think, forget about drinking water, drink beer. Because now the EU have decided that water should not be sold as a healthy product, that it does not help you rehydrate your body, that it is not something that is good for you, and anybody who claims that it is could face 2 years in jail.
Ask a footballer.
Exactly. Ask somebody who's had too much beer the night before. What do you want? You want water.
Because it rehydrates your body.
Yeah. We're made up of what? Is it 80% water?
Yeah, something like that.
What is this about? I mean, if this is about basically curbing the claims and the water marketing industry, who are selling millions of gallons of the stuff in plastic bottles, then frankly, I think that's a good thing. Well, I mean, what a scam the water industry is. Something that you can get freely available out of the tap everywhere and almost every place. It's perfectly drinkable, nothing wrong with it at all. And somehow or other, the water industry had managed to get you to believe that your own water supply in your own home is somehow unclean and won't do the job, and so you go out and you buy plastic bottles.
No,
which are
you
made,
tell me
which,
to just a minute,
Mark.
Which are made of oil.
Mark. We're a global radio station, Mark.
Mark.
Yes, we're a global radio station.
Which means in certain areas of the world, it's very true. The safe one is the bottled water.
I completely agree, but here we're talking about EU ruling. Here we're talking about an EU ruling, which is referring to...
Oh, he's got you there, Eric. He's got you there.
Yes, indeed. We'll have to end part one right there. We'll be back in a couple of shakes, boys and girls. Do not go away.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.